Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, we do return our thanks to you that we may gather in your house and study your word. We pray that you may jump out of the pages of the scriptures and stand by our side, that we may meet you at the communion table and know of your true presence. So Lord, feed us with your word and sacrament this day, that we may leave refreshed, knowing that in you, life can be different. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Friends in Christ, it is entirely possible to know a person through the media, but not recognize him for sure when you see him or her in person. A few days ago, one of the members of our congregation was at the Mayo Clinic. She was in an elevator going up to one of the top floors when a gentleman came in. She looked at him, couldn't believe it, and finally said, "Are you who I think you are?" The gentleman smiled and said, "Who do you think I am?" She replied, "Billy Graham." He said, "I am." And the woman was just thrilled that for a few seconds she was in the same elevator with the internationally known evangelist. She was simply elated. And I can imagine how she felt, because not at the Mayo Clinic, but in other places, I've had that same experience. So briefly, between the services, we talked about Dr. Graham's physical appearance, taller than we thought he would be, thinner by far than he appears on television. It was quite an experience for this particular person. And I can't remember who that individual is. So if you're here this morning, would you identify yourself when you go through the door again? I'd like to talk with you some more about Billy Graham. Now, this is only an illustration. I would like to apply that to our text this morning and say that it is entirely possible for us to have a biblical picture of Jesus Christ and not really recognize him when he stands beside us. For the purpose of communication this morning, I have coined a phrase, a paper Jesus, and I'm going to make reference to it. When I talk about a paper Jesus, I mean a Jesus whom we have met on the paper, the pages of our Bible. We know a lot about him. We know when he was born. We know how he lived. We know his teachings. We know about his death. We know of his resurrection, his ascension, and his promise that he would come again. We know all of this. But then one day, when these teachings from the Word of God and the experiences that we have in everyday life intersect, there stands Jesus Christ. It could be at a worship service. It could be in a Bible study. It could be when you kneel at the communion table. But probably it's more in one of the tough experiences of life, whatever it may be. A time when your heart is burdened, when there may be bitterness in your soul, or whatever else it may be. And here suddenly from the pages of Scripture comes a word like this, "Come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There the experience of life is intersecting with the Christ whom you read about in Scripture, and Jesus pops out of the Bible and he stands by your side. It is at a time like this that you ask yourself the question, Are you who I think you are? And Jesus turns around and says, and who do you think that I am? Are you really the Jesus whom I met, whom I learned about when I was a child in Sunday school? Are you really the Jesus whom I learned about in the confirmation classes? Are you really Jesus? And he turns and he says to you, I am. I can help you. I can turn your life around. I can make you a new person. It is at that point, friend, according to our text today, that we are in a position where we must make a decision that is crucial to our spiritual life. In those first verses of our text, it says that Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. That is, the world today does not recognize Jesus Christ. Sort of some insignificant figure of history, that's all that he is. And it goes on to say in verse 11, he came to those who were his own, that is the Jewish people, but his own did not receive him. There is a possibility that when Jesus Christ stands by our side, we can reject him and say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Or I don't want your relationship to become too personal. I don't want you to change my life. I don't want you to change my attitude. I don't want you to change my whole mission in life. That's rejecting Jesus. We may say we have accepted him as the paper Jesus. But when I turn my back on him, I have rejected him. On the other hand, there were those who received him. To those who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God. Their lives are made new. They become different kinds of people. Now, do we have a choice? Of course we do. It is strange that not all people want to be in a living personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you stop and try to analyze why that is, it isn't so strange in a way. Because the paper Jesus does really nothing to your life. He doesn't have to change you one iota. And I believe that there are millions of people in the church at large, and hundreds of people in Nazareth Church, because of their own confession, who have a paper Jesus. And you can sit here and worship today, and you can go out and live like the devil tomorrow. It's a very adjustable type of religion. But that kind of a Christianity has on it the kiss of death from the standpoint of our spiritual life. Let me illustrate. Jesus becomes threatening when he really becomes a part of our lives. And we don't like to be threatened. We don't like to have our lives threatened. Here's one example. We're in a business transaction. Maybe we're in business as a business people. And I take this now in the broadest sense of the word, not just simply the retailer. Or maybe we are the people who are using the business. But let's say that we're in this, buying or selling as partners. And we have never done anything that was really illegal. There is no way that a judge could ever send you to jail for what you've done. But we have learned through the ages that there are loopholes in the law. And if we study these things and have expertise counsel, we can make use of the loopholes. It's not illegal being done every single minute of the day, but it is not moral. It is not really the way that a Christian whose life is committed to Jesus Christ would live. He does not say, well, it's practical and everybody is doing it, and if you didn't do it this way, you would be out of business. It's just one of those things that you can do. Now let's say that your business partner is converted. He meets Jesus. And he walks into the office one day and he says, you know, we're going to clean this operation up. We're going to be square on as far as Christ is concerned. And we're not just going to try to find every single one of these loopholes in the law. And you say, if we begin to do that, the profit and loss statement is going to look an awful lot different. And your converted partner says, what's the matter with you? We've lived together in this business operation for a long time, haven't we? We've made money. We've been respectable people. You belong to the church. What's the matter with you? I've met Christ. And the partner goes out and says to the buddies down the street in the coffee shop, I'm in a mess. My partner got religion. He's taking it seriously. I don't know about the future of our business. That's where Jesus is a threat. Let's have a paper Jesus. Let's let it be right here, very nice. Doesn't disturb anybody. That's what the Word of God talks about today. He came to his own and they received him not. Oh, you say I received him? Not if you live that way. Jesus can be extremely threatening to a family. Two young people get married. Oh, they've got everything going for them. They have been confirmed. Let's put it in our own denomination, in the same confirmation class in the Lutheran church. And they go to church every Sunday. Pretty soon they get involved in the youth program and all of these nice things that are going on. And everybody's happy that here we have some fine Christian people. But they have a paper Jesus, a Jesus whom they can twist and turn in whatever way they want to. So there's another setting. They live as they please out there. New Year's Eve comes and it's an entirely different person than you find on January 5th sitting in a sanctuary at 8:35 in the morning. Then one day, one of that couple meets Jesus. And the person goes home and says, you know, our life together has got to be different. We've got to take this word out. We've got to begin to read it. I want to begin to have a prayer life with you, my husband and my wife. We have got to let Jesus control us. And pretty soon, the one who is not converted says, you know, if that is the way that she had been or he had been when we were going together, I would never marry him or her. I have gone over that again and again and again in my study. When one in a marriage is converted and the other one doesn't know what to do about it. That's not the girl I married. I don't want her. That's not the man I married. What's the matter with him? That's when Jesus is threatening. That's when we say, let's have a paper Jesus. But to those who received him, he gave the power to become new individuals. They could have a new self-image. Of course I know that I'm a sinner. I've transgressed the laws of God. I am unrighteous in every single way possible. But I know that Jesus Christ has come into this world. He has died for me on that cross. He has forgiven me my sins. And so I'm not just a sinner, I'm a forgiven sinner, and I'm precious, and I'm important to God, and you aren't going to take that away from me, the Christian says. You can't let me go around. I will not go around with a low self-image. And then I have a new love for people. For if I'm precious and important to God, so are the other people, and I become sensitive to them, and I'm anxious to forgive them. I have a new understanding of life. I realize that I am not just here on this earth to be served, but I am here to serve. I know that life is filled with a lot of good things and wonderful experiences, but life is not just a party, it is also a mission. I have a new lifestyle. It is directed by the will of God and not by my own sinful life. That's the difference. When you have received him, as it is described in verse 12. Now the choice obviously is yours or mine, people. Whether we're going to receive him or we're not going to receive him. It is wrong for us in the church. It is wrong for us in a Lutheran church to just assume that every person who has been baptized has received Christ. There are thousands of baptized heathens who have walked away. And if there's anything that is torturous to our beloved Lutheran church, it is this assumption where you go in one church after another, simply because I'm baptized, I am a child of God. That is wrong. It is contrary to the Word of God. It is contrary to the confessions of our Lutheran Church. It will be the kiss of death for Lutheranism. That cannot go on. This overrated sacramentalism that we have, and we're coming to the Lord's Supper this morning, and how thankful we should be for it. This overemphasis upon liturgy and ritual and all of the rest of the arts, at the expense of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, will be the kiss of death for the Lutheran Church. In the future, we are turned around as a denomination. Send my tape to Bishop Price. Is there a choice? Of course there's a choice. In 1831, a Polish philosopher by the name of August Chytkowski wrote, "The future role of philosophy is to become a practical philosophy, exercising direct influence on social life and developing the future in the realm of concrete activity." What is a philosopher saying? The philosopher is saying that any philosophy that does not find its way into life is going to die. If you and I have a paper Jesus, we have got a Christianity that is simply a theoretical philosophy that is taught in the hallowed corridors of our seminaries and from the pulpits of our churches. But if that philosophy does not get into the everyday sector of life, it will fade away. Our Lord Jesus Christ, hundreds of years ago, standing in Caesarea Philippi, made this statement: "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's a promise. When Jesus Christ comes, his church will be here. But let us take good note, friend, that he did not give that promise to a denomination. He has not promised that when he returns, the Roman Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Baptist Church, the Presbyterian Church will be here. He has not promised that to any congregation. He has not promised that Nazareth Church will be here when he comes again. The people who trust Jesus Christ, that's the church, and that church will be here. Let a denomination or a congregation put strong emphasis on its organization, and let that be the end rather than the means to the end, and that congregation and that denomination has lost its mission. And if you want me to get specific, if the primary item on the agenda in the American Lutheran Church in 1986 is a merger, we have lost our mission. That is so insignificant. That is not even true ecumenicity. And I speak neither for nor against it. My ecumenicity is when I sit down with a brother who might be a Roman Catholic or a Baptist, and we are one in Jesus Christ. It doesn't take an organization put together by 70 people meeting all over the United States for the course of 3 or 4 years. Be that as it may, we can have that merger. I won't lose any sleep over it. But let it be said that that is not, biblically speaking, ecumenicity. Let liturgy replace preaching, and let ritualism replace teaching, and you no longer have a church. Let the concern for the lost be no longer the concern of this congregation. But let us give way that every person out there is saved anyway, and you have no purpose for this church. Let evangelism be replaced with social and political concerns, and the denomination and the congregation will gradually fade out of the picture. And this beautiful edifice that we have here on this plot of ground will become nothing more than a museum. And the pews that, generally speaking, are filled will be empty, and the pulpit will have no power at all. It's a kiss of death when a church acts that way. Sometimes when I ride in my car, and I sit and think about how God has blessed us, I become tremendously concerned about our future. Because you can go to some of the greatest churches in Europe, some of you have been there, the cathedrals. Go there on a Sunday morning. Go to Vor Frues Kirke in Copenhagen on a Sunday morning. You know how many you'll find in that massive church edifice with Thorvaldsen's Christ and an organ that will blow you out? 100 at the most. 100. You see, it's a museum. I've got some little grandchildren. You've got children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, whatever they may be. They're not even going to school yet. Let's say they get to be 85 years of age and they've lived far, far away from Cedar Falls, Iowa. And one day they make a trip here. And one of these grandchildren who now is 80, 85 years of age says to his grandchild, "Take me over to University and Main Street. I want to see the church where I was baptized. I want to see the rail where I was confirmed. I want to go to church there on Sunday morning." And so the grandchild takes our grandchildren to church. And there are 50 people here. And we walk around, or they walk around. And they stand in their confirmation room. And they say, "What has happened? Where are the people?" But on another corner, there is a thriving congregation. What has happened? The one church failed to proclaim the word of God. And the other one lifted up Jesus Christ. People, we have got all kinds of evidence to put it into positive. That if we will just remain true to Jesus, if we will just continue to hold him up, we will be a fantastic blessing. I want to share just one good thing with you, and I'm going to share several good things with you between now and the end of January. We have lived through one of the most difficult times in the history of Blackhawk County, at least the last 35 years. This past year, we have seen a lot of people lose their jobs, a lot of people leave the community. But I am happy to announce today, and it sent me to my knees when Sharon gave me these figures the other day, that in 1986, in the most difficult economic time that we have experienced as a congregation in the last generation, we received 1,030,801. We have never, as far as I remember, ever received $1 million in one year in this congregation. In the time when we were having the worst financial decline, we received 1,030,000 with a smaller membership than we had a year ago. That's not a man or men. That's Christ. That's Christ. And if we will hold him up, can you imagine, of that money we have to spend $350,000 to pay our debt on the building. But can you imagine what's going to happen after 1988 as a congregation? When the 1 million goes to 2 million when Jesus is lifted up, and when 3,500 members become 7,000 members, not just for a number game, but bringing people in here to hear about Jesus Christ and being converted. Can you imagine what will happen as far as benevolence and missions are concerned in this church? There's your dream. And the answer to it is right in our text today. For as many as received him who believed in his name, he gave power. That's the word, power. Power to become the children of God. Our homes, our families, We have no guarantee that a generation from now, our children are going to want to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many reasons for that. But there is also one reason. If a husband and a wife does not take seriously this matter of receiving Jesus Christ, it is a kiss of death as far as your family is concerned, spiritually speaking. The children will one day laugh at our Christianity. They will say something like this: I went into the home of my grandparents and I heard nothing. I lived in the home of my father and my mother. The home did not know the meaning of the word love. I never saw God's word open seriously. I never saw my mother and my father bow their heads in prayer and pray for us, the kids. I could see them take a vicious attack, the one at the other. There was no peace in our home. Why do I want this Christianity? What has it done for them? I never saw them at the end of the worship service find their way to a Bible study group. I never saw them bring into their home people and have a small group Bible study. I saw a lot of other things. I didn't see that. I don't need Christianity. On the other hand, the more positive side is, look at those families where they grow stronger and stronger and stronger in the faith. And the kids will say, we were raised with it. We saw the power of it in our fathers and our mothers' lives. People, as we begin a new year, I hope that you will take those three verses from our text seriously today. Don't be satisfied with a paper Jesus. Don't be satisfied with that which is on the surface. Dig deeply into his word. And when he jumps out of the pages and you say, are you who I think you are? He'll say, and who do you think I am? And you'll say, Jesus, the one that I learned about. And he'll say, I am. And I have come to straighten out your life, to strengthen it, to direct it, to empower it, and then one day to bring it home, to be with me. That's not the paper Jesus. That's the crucified, resurrected, living Lord who makes the difference. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged. Started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western home communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western home communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.